This is the Kinky Cast, an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 132 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, we will be speaking with Tariq on the subject of cuckolding, BBC, and swinging. Here's your host, Woody.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting in the chair next to me is a very special guest and friend of the cast for a long time. It is Tariq. How are you tonight?
Hey, how's everything going?
All right. Tariq has been doing fundraising for us to keep the cast on the air for all this time, and he's just really a great friend. But he has some special things going on in his life that we want to talk about tonight. Yeah, so just tell us a little bit about it.
Well, like I said, I've kind of done several things during the years, from BBC to cuckolding to submissive training within cuckold training. Cuckold boot camp, which I love very much, you know.
Your eyes light up when you say
that. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's actually almost throwing a military format to it, you know, but still keeping it kinky.
Okay, so let's talk about what a cuckold is.
Okay. Well, basically, a cuckold is a husband that's willing to share his wife and be submissive to his wife while she's being shared. Now, you have different forms within that. The basic format is the husband being submissive to the wife and whoever she plays with, which sometimes can be a bull, a black bull, which is a black male, or a white bull, which is a white male.
And what is the husband's role in this now?
Really, the husband role is to really, like in some of my experience, I've had the husband role of just following the orders of the wife, the commands of the wife, but also following the commands of the bull that is given orders to. If it's during sexual play, sometimes he might sit back handcuffed, but he doesn't move really until the wife or the bull gets permission to. But if I had to put it on a percentage, I would probably say about 75% the wife has control.
The husband is sitting there basically a voyeur.
Yes, definitely. Yes. And sometimes if he does well and follow directions, it depends on how deep and detail you go in it. Just like with anything else, you have different levels of it. You can have light, moderate, and extreme.
What does that mean? So how's that work?
Okay, so for example, light can just be, well, while the bull and the wife is playing, basically he can just sit back and watch.
So passive.
Oh, yes, very passive. But also he can sit and participate. So if, for example, if the bull and the wife is having sex doggy style, after everything's done, he can clean up. And cleaning up means any semen that's left on the wife or inside a vagina, he cleans that up.
With his tongue?
Yes, yes, yes. Not pine saw. Uh-huh.
Yeah, scrubbing
but,
a rub.
Oh, definitely. But yeah, definitely cleans it up. And also it can be times where, it's been times where I've had sex with the wife doggy style and the husband lays under her. And basically, while she's being penetrated by me, he basically licks the lips of her vagina, which keeps her excited also.
Yeah, the clit's there too. You
know? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So that's if he's a good boy, you know.
He gets to watch really close.
Oh, yeah, yeah, really close. But it depends on him following orders, and sometimes it depends on how the wife feels.
So what is in this for the wife? Is this a control thing over her husband?
Yes. I've went through situations where probably one that I was kind of emotionally attached to because they were going through a rocky part of their marriage. Basically, this was like almost like a counseling for their marriage. And it kind of got abusive before we met. So we sat down and talked and everything, and he wanted things to work out. But for it to work, he had to be completely submissive. So those years that he was married to her, that he was very verbally and physically sometimes harmful to her, he had to make up for that. It was times where she gave him a spanking. And I remember one of the most interesting times, we were making love. And actually, she told him he couldn't eat until we made love. And I was trying to figure out, okay, what's going on here? And she basically had a dog pen full of his food. And he was tied around his neck with a chain. And he had to eat his dog food. Eat out of the dog pen while we made love. At the end, I still don't know them now, and it's probably been several years since we've talked. Their marriage is doing well now.
So it needed an adjustment.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You meet all type of backgrounds there.
This is a really kind of a shocking adjustment if you're going from kind of a abusive male to a female role and then giving it all up.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the amazing thing with this is that you see the love that they have for each other. Sometimes you see the love within that. It's kind of hard to fathom, but you do see the love in there. You do see where they still have feelings and emotions tied. And apparently they just kind of went haywire, and you're just trying to mend everything back and get everything back straight and, you know, going forward. So it's crazy how that goes.
The wife, when you're doing this, mm-hmm. She is getting a fantasy and a control thing going.
Yeah, she's fulfilling.
And so she's fulfilling a fantasy.
Yeah.
And she's kind of showing off to the husband.
Oh, yes.
And like a lot of swinger situations where the husband and wife will be an eye shot of each other.
Correct.
It's, you know, kind of look at me.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they can be really respectful of their spouse and seeing that they're getting something really good from someone else.
Correct, yeah.
And I've seen that many times where, you know, you can see the love in the man's eyes as he's watching his wife being happy.
I mean, I've seen tears run down a man's eye. You know, tears of joy, yeah. I've seen a situation where actually before the couple got married, day before the wedding, they brought their bull in and they played. And that was almost like, do you call it like a physical wedding ring? But it was
one hell of a bachelor party.
Hell of a bachelor party, yeah. But yeah, and you know, as times are changing now, it's becoming more common. You know, it's still out taboo out here, but it's starting to really get out there.
Taboos are kind of falling over on a daily basis anymore. You know, mm-hmm. You look at what's going on in the whole BDSM scene, it's gone mainstream anymore.
Correct, yeah.
And so this has come out of the dark rooms and is really in the light of day now. And, you know, you can Google cuckold and just find a ton of information of people in different areas, people offering services, counseling, as you say.
It's very vast. I mean, that word has so many different meanings. And also, it's still a lot of uncharted waters that you can travel. I've seen a guy be a bank executive and is a pure jerk as a boss. But when he's in the room with the wife and the boy, he completely becomes submissive. He just shuts down. And it's almost like just unwinding, finding a way to unwind. Yeah.
You find that in people of authority,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen it in military, doctors, lawyers, judges, all that. They do high-stress jobs all day,
correct.
And then all of a sudden, they shut down to a very low level of just kind of low life form.
Correct.
And they don't want to make any decisions. They
correct.
Just want to take it in. And that, you know, it's a very cathartic experience to see this kind of change in a very domineering person by day.
Correct, yes.
But when you see it, it's amazing.
Oh, definitely. I was speaking with a lady up in Clarksville, and her husband came out of the military, and he has post-traumatic stress. We talked briefly about it. But, you still got to be careful, you know, because when you're dealing with emotions like that, and you've got to be very careful, you know. So it's almost like completely taking your time instead of rushing into that, because you can be in a situation where you're making love and this guy just snaps. So you got to be very careful with that. You have to, one thing I've learned, you got to look past the physical. You got to dig deep and look at the emotional, and the physical is just really the last.
So there's a whole evaluation.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, you don't want somebody's mainspring to break in the middle of that.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Because everybody comes from different backgrounds in life. And you don't, I was telling a friend, you don't, these days growing up, you with mixed, for example, mixed martial arts, everybody takes it now. You don't know who knows it. So what I'm saying, you don't want to get put in a situation where this person might know something and you might not be able to walk out there healthy, you know.
Being that it is kind of a backroom sort of lifestyle anymore, there are issues that you're having to put up with. It is such a taboo in many societies.
Yeah.
And you're out there in, quote, the public. You know, you're meeting people that you don't know. And so there is always a risk at that.
Definitely.
Does that risk give you a rush?
Probably when I was younger, yeah. But now you really take things into consideration. But I tell you what, the amazing thing with this, you feel this kinetic vibe. I mean, you can, especially when you get out in the upper class areas of town, and you can be at a grocery store, and you just feel this vibe, this energy vibe. And just mysteriously, you find out that they're into it, you know. If you got some tattoos like Queen of Spades, a lot of women have those secretly, or even jewelry. So that's another sign. But it, one thing, mine, I've just always felt this erotic energy, you know, just this erotic wavelength come at you. And you feel it from the woman at first, but then you can feel it from the husband if he's interested.
It's interesting how you pick it up just as a vibe.
Yeah. It's amazing, because I can be headed out to the other side of town to go grocery shopping, and I just get so excited. It's just like the hair on my head stands up, and I don't have no hair on my head. But yeah, you really feel excited. You could just feel this burst of inspiration, you know, this positive energy.
As a person, you know, you're a tall, good-looking guy, and you spend time at the gym, obviously. And so there is a attractiveness that you offer.
Yeah.
And so you're going to catch their eye as you're walking through the supermarket, and all of a sudden they start sizing you up.
Correct. Yeah. And it's just general conversation. You know, I recommend for anybody that wants to walk into this, that wants to be a bull, take your time. Just conversate. You know, just conversate for, and everything will fall into place. But if you try to go in there with wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, it can backfire on you. You know, you can run them away. Just talk and find out where their head is first, and then go from there.
Let them come out to you.
Yeah, because you're already connected just by talking. You've already established that. So it's really just taking your time to find out what they want. You know, sometimes when I'm out at a store or something, I will put jogging pants on, and I will wear no underwear. And sometimes I've cut a hole in my pocket. Of course, I wouldn't make it where my penis sticks out, but I would just cut a hole in my pocket. And if you feel that erotic talk, and the thing about it, you might meet that person, you might not even see them no more. But if you have a conversation with them and you can feel them flirting with you, you could, I've played around and said, well, won't you stick your hand in this pocket, see what's in here. And just for them to stick their hand in your pocket, to rub your penis, and feel some of that pre-cum, and for them to pull it out and kind of lick it and walk away, that is an arousal itself. That be all that she needs for right then. Yeah.
Well, if they're reaching in your pocket, there's certainly a consent there.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is, yeah. That's what I've learned by certain attire you wear, like jogging pants, hospital scrubs. But you do it where everybody in the whole store is not looking at you. You know, you still kind of be covert about that, you know, but yeah.
These people that you are talking about, that you're practitioners of your services, are they middle class, upper class? Where do they fall in the system?
I've seen some from all backgrounds, but most of it has been from really middle class and upper class on the other side of town. Yeah, but predominantly really middle class and upper class. And, you know, what I recommend for anybody walking this path, don't try to change their whole way of life. Don't do it. All you're doing is just putting your piece into the puzzle. That's all you're doing. Don't try to, you know, they just, if this is what they want, just go along with it. Find out. But don't, I've seen so many mistakes where guys go on and say, well, I want to change everything in their life. No, no, no. They love their life the way it is. They're just asking for this particular survey.
Just making an adjustment, not correct. A life change.
Correct, correct. Yes, yeah.
Where do you park your emotions when you're doing this?
I've developed where it's a cutoff switch. You know, it's like part of your chores that you do a day. You know, if I'm online working, I know it's a certain time that I got to be online, taking out the trash, other personal things. That's how you shut it off. You don't want to get flooded with it because you will start forgetting things. I knew one guy that didn't go to sleep for a whole week. He was so busy out there trying to network, and he was sleeping, 5 or 10 minutes? And when his body shut down, he was sick for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, we certainly don't want that.
Oh, no.
You know, on BDSM, we call that, you know, frenzy, sub-frenzy.
Correct, yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. And so it's like everything, balance.
Balance, you got to have a balance, yeah.
And so you have a real life. You have a real family. You get out there. You do normal things.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
And this then becomes, I'm not going to call it a hobby because you're a very serious hobbyist.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is really an alternate to your lifestyle.
Correct.
And you go in and help people do some things and get your own pleasure in the meantime.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, like I said, it's not always physical. It's been somewhere I go to their house. And I just walk around nude. There's been times where they're getting ready to eat dinner. And I just walk around nude, just serve the wife food while the husband watches. It's so many different ways you can do it. Man, it's amazing. Like I said, it's almost like, what's that slogan on Star Trek? We're going where no man has gone before. It's the same with this. It's unlimited where you can travel with it. It really is.
Everybody has a kink. You know, there's something going on in everybody's head. And until you do an evaluation, you really don't know where their head's at.
Correct.
But then it all starts to fall together. And when we start talking about this, you talk about a black bull and a white bull.
Yeah.
And the couples, black, white, mixed, all kinds of different combinations.
Oh, yeah. Especially you get over in the European market. You get outside the United States. And as you already know, you get overseas, it's a whole different ballgame.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole different ballgame. It's amazing because I've met people that English wasn't that well when I met them. But everybody has the same universal word, you know? So, yeah. But it's all across the borders. It is. It really is.
When we were talking earlier, you were talking about a change in some of the demographics and you're finding older women coming to you.
Oh, yes, yes. Definitely the cougars. It's getting real, real big now.
See, they say a cougar is not old enough to be your mother, but definitely too old to be a girlfriend.
Correct, yeah. But, you know, one thing I've learned with that, it's so beautiful to see a woman still have that feeling about herself. Growing up, it was always about, well, It's got to have this plus size, this particular size model. But no, it's not like that no more. Now it's from 60, 70, 80 year old. And it's right now they're working out at the gym. They're eating, you know, and I'm not even saying, I'm not even going to put the word plastic surgery. I'm not even going to say that. But they're taking care of themselves, but they're not giving up in life. You know, they understand, hey, this is another chapter of my life that I need to do, you know.
They ain't dead yet.
They ain't. That is so true. That is so true. Yeah. So it's getting bigger and bigger. I just got back from Florida, and I seen some ladies down there in their 70s. I was actually jet skiing, and I actually almost ran into another jet ski because I was looking at this lady, and she was just built like a brick house. Just, oh, just beautiful. Yeah.
An older woman.
Older woman. So
age is an interesting thing when you look at sex. As kids, we look at our parents and think that they never have sex because they don't have sexuality in a kid's mind. Then when we become older and we have kids, then we're those ones that they're looking at that doesn't have sex. And we do have sex.
Definitely.
I'm definitely older than that now. Right. And I'm looking at a very active sex life.
Correct, yeah.
Into my upper years. Yeah. And I'm not giving up.
Correct.
And there's no reason to give up.
It's no reason. Of course, you have medicine out here to strengthen that. But mentally, there's no reason. I was at the park one day, and I actually ran into this gentleman. He had to probably be in his 80s, and he was still an active bull. But some of the stories he's told me, what he'd been through in the 50s and the 60s, and it was a learning lesson. It was a lot of knowledge being given to me.
Yeah. He's seen it all.
Oh, he's seen it all, yeah. And definitely back then, some of the things that he went through. One thing I've learned in life, we've always seen life from the history books, but we've never really went inside the history books to find out what went on. You know, we just went by face value. And he told me things about civil rights marches, being a bull around then, sneaking around. And he said, if he would have got caught, he wouldn't be here today. But he said he had to do it, you know. So it's also played a part in life, you know. Yeah.
That was a lot higher risk than.
Oh, yes.
It's still taboo. You know, we're in the southern parts of the U.S.
Yeah.
And there's still taboo.
Yeah.
There's certainly other parts of the U.S. and especially all over the rest of the world where it's much more acceptable. Of course, there are some countries where it's not acceptable at all.
Definitely. Oh, very true. Very true about that. Yeah.
When you go out and you're having sex with these people, what is your safe sex policy?
Discreetness. It's not immediate. It's not. I don't recommend it. Nobody. If somebody said, well, we want you there late on tonight. We want to meet. No. You have to put up your rules and your boundaries. I go by keywords, discreteness, remote location, just certain keywords like that I go by. I don't recommend jumping in, meeting with them right then. It definitely, you know, in these times of health, you know, you got to be very careful. So once I know the couple, you know, find out a little bit about them, you know, it's sometimes it's not a condom, but that's been a long time. You know, I don't recommend getting started in that. I know some people do barebacking. You have to really know somebody. But I've had couples that were doctors, professors. You got to put your boundaries up. Yeah. You got to stop your emotions right then and say, okay, let me get my senses together. You know, let me just don't go off pure instinct.
Spontaneity in sex, whether it be at a bar or, you know, any kind of a pickup scene, is a bad idea if you expect to be healthy.
Correct. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And sizing up your partner is so critical.
Correct.
To understand that they have a background of safety.
Yeah.
They have a background of health. An unhealthy person is not a good person to play with.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Certain cases, you might have to say, hey, I need to see your health card. You know, and one thing I learned, if that's being asked for you, to provide that, that lets you know what standards they are. I've always went by that. If somebody says, well, can you give me a health card? Can I see this? That speaks a lot of that person, because it's like this. If they don't ask for that, how many other people have they hopped in bed with? You know, mm-hmm. That's just the common denominator.
It is. Well, yeah. And it becomes common sense at some point.
Oh, yeah, common sense, yeah. Yeah. But as you know, in society, it becomes a lost art now.
Common sense aren't common.
Oh, no, it's not. Yeah. No, it's not.
You're one of the most networked people that I've met. There isn't a stranger in your life, I don't think.
Correct. I don't know if that's just mother being deep from the South, Southern raising, but you never know who you're going to meet. You might run into somebody for a brief second, but just to smile and talk. Life is a learning tool itself. And like I said, everybody comes from different walks of life. So just by saying hello and talking, you never know what you'll learn. It doesn't hurt to just speak, you know. So I've always done that when I'm out, just talk. You know? Now, of course, sometimes you can tell when somebody don't want to be messed with, you know, or be talked to. But most of the time, you know, I've just, hey, how you doing today? How's everything going? And everything just falls into place.
You've run into a lot of kinky people just talking to them, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I have. I have. You know, I took several years out, and I went truck driving over the road. You see some very interesting things here in the United States. You know, you see, you see some things that just light up your eyes. You can't believe. You think you've seen it all. But something else happens where it tops that. From nudist communities to nude bungee jumping, nude restaurants hidden in the woods. I mean, you've seen it all. And I've seen quite a few things, yeah. But I know it's still more I need to see.
Gotta keep exploring.
Gotta keep exploring, yeah.
The new sexualities that we've seen recently with 50 Shades and different things, bringing people into the mainstream. How has that changed what you do?
I keep my same formula. You know, I know who I am. I know my formula. Everybody might have a different formula, but some of the things have got commercial. We was talking briefly about the interview about BBCs. Some guys think just because they're ripped up in the weight room, their penis might be 9 to 10, 11 inches long. They let that speak for them. And it's really giving it a bad name.
So it's a little shallow on the other
correct.
Side.
Yeah, it's a little shallow. Yeah. And, you know, also, I was speaking with one lady that had a high corporate job. And she played with a BBC. And she was so caught up in emotion, she didn't kind of screen this guy. And it was some pictures that got out. And luckily, it was some other people in the lifestyle that was able to get those pictures taken care of and, you know, delete it. But you've got to be careful. You know, some of these guys are not in it for the long haul. You know, so what I recommend for the couples and, you know, the females that want to get into it, please screen, find out, you know, because it gives a bad rep to the guys that have a deep passion for this. It gives a bad rap for that.
You were talking a little bit about BBC, which of course stands for Big Black Cock.
Correct, yeah.
And I've seen a lot of gangbang activities where a lot of black guys will come literally inside a white woman that has 6-7 guys. And how does the gangbang play with the type of lifestyle that you're in?
The whole purpose is to please that white woman. That's one of the major purposes of it. But really with the gangbang, what I've seen, because I've done a couple, but I've just never felt that vibe like that. Personally, to do something like that, I just believe everybody's got to be on the same court. That's from if you're sitting back watching, you're pepping your counterpart up, you're cheering him on. Everybody's got to be on the same court. And that's where my passion comes into it. Because if it's something like that I'm not feeling, I don't do. You know, I know some guys can just get in do their thing and go about their business. But I don't look at it like that. I just believe everybody has to be synchronized, you know, on the same wave.
Let's bring up swingers for a minute. A lot of people that I've talked to over the years have said that the women aren't into swinging. They're just trying to appease their husband. But I have seen a lot of women that are really into it. You can't take a broad stroke on that one and say it's only the guy that wants it.
Oh, no. I think that sexual drive for that woman might be a whole lot more hungrier than the man. You know, but it will come out. It will come out. I've seen some events where a woman's taking 3 or 4 cocks and just knocking them down, pointing at the guy lined up saying, get over here, you're next. I said, get over here now, you know.
Okay, we know who's in control.
Yeah,
then.
We know who's in control. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah. But from talking to some of the couples in the swinging, I talked to a couple recently that went to a club here. They was kind of turned off because it was too many men in there. And it just made them feel uncomfortable. It was just entirely too many men. And it kind of came with a point where the husband's like, yeah, we need to leave. I think it should be a balance. I've always thought that you need more couples and females at an event than males. Limit the amount of males, you know, if you want everything to go perfect, you know.
Well, if that imbalance gets too off to one side, then the comfort factor goes away. And when the comfort factor is gone, the fun is gone.
The fun is gone, yeah.
Certainly a woman that is arranging a gangbang or something like that, especially if she's very selective and she's mm-hmm. choosing the people mm-hmm. that have reputations that are known quality people, then you can feel pretty safe about doing this. And then it is absolutely fantasy fulfillment. But then it could go the wrong way. One of these sex clubs turns into a forced gangbang, that turns into rape.
Right. Well, I've seen one situation where this lady, she had about 6 guys on, and the owner wasn't really paying any attention. And the way she got out, okay, she had all the guys fully erect. But some way she gave them hand jobs, and she was jerking them off so quick. And I was just sitting back watching. She was jerking them off real quick. And the way she was talking to them, so erotic and so hardcore, they were just shooting left to right. And she got up and walked out. But I've never seen that before. I don't know if that was from a past experience she had. But I think she knew she was in a situation where she felt uncomfortable. Now, if it would have came down to it, I'm pretty sure some people would have walked over and said, hey, stop it. But the way she mastered that whole thing so quick, you just heard like guys screaming at the same time. Yeah. And she was just jerking them off and semen shooting everywhere. Yeah.
So she actually changed the dynamic, moving her into safety.
Correct. Yeah.
You don't think about that in this situation, but that certainly can be true.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's probably a really good advice for a woman that wants to have a scene like this.
Yeah.
Be in control. Understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Don't be overpowered. If you are, then the whole thing is going to turn into a very ugly moment.
And even with that, you can even put bondism into it. You know, say you've got 4 guys. But you're giving them rules. And if they don't act right, they will get a spanking. Now, the severity of that spanking depends on that person. But you can set rules within that. So you can control the situation.
Well, in some of these situations, I know where the partner of the woman is, I guess you might say supervisor. He's not participating,
right?
But he's refereeing the event.
Right.
And if something were to go wrong, he will step up and pull a person out.
Right, yeah.
And that makes the woman feel much safer also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen some punches thrown too. But because instinctively, if a man sees that his wife or girlfriend is uncomfortable, he's just going to react. He's going to go in defense mode.
It's all fine in fantasy until it goes wrong.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. That is so true.
Tarek, I want to thank you for stopping by tonight and sharing your experiences. This is fascinating stuff.
It's a good thing we didn't have a bottle of wine. We could have went on till the sun came up. Yeah. But I love this with a passion.
You have a lot of experiences here. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's more to see, you know, it's more to see. I enjoy this. I really do. Your passion in life, you know, to me, it's just one of my passions. It's so much you can learn, even if it's just conversating with that particular couple. It is a lot to learn, you know, but it's beautiful. You know, it's just, of course, you're gonna open up your eyes, but it's opening up your ears also.
I think that's a real important term there. If you're not using your ears, you're gonna miss a lot here.
And that's one thing in life, you know, you're told growing up, just listen. That's all you got to do. Just listen. And sometimes in society, we have got away from that. You know, it's more like, well, I'm going to talk over you. No, I'm going to talk over you instead of just sitting back listening and listen to what the individual has to say.
There's great power in listening. When somebody stops talking and you just sit there and look at them, you can put them in kind of a delicate position.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
And that way you can control the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an interesting psychology that goes along with everything we've been talking about tonight.
And I tell you next time, I definitely got to tell you about the cockold sports that I'm working on also.
Wait, tell me some more.
Well, I tell you one I've got in blueprint. I think we spoke about it a while ago. It's almost like a predator in which you go out into a wooded area and actually the husband becomes the hunter by the wife and the bull. So it's pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm still working on the first stages of it. I've got one like Simon Says, in which you could do similar to the Simon Says game we grew up on. So like I said, it's like taking some of the established games, just putting a kinky twist to it.
Yeah, I could get into kinky twist games. There we go. Kinky Twister.
Yeah, correct. Oh, there yes. Yeah, kinky twister.
Tarek, thank you so much for stopping by tonight.
Oh, there's no problem. It is a pleasure. I've enjoyed myself.
It's a fine evening. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to episode 132 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week, when we will be talking to Temp Tease, a world-class teaser.